This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake preview WWE Fastlane, featuring Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, and a Goldberg title win. Want reviews of every major show? Make sure you are signed up for ProWrestling.net membership, and on Sunday night, you can listen to Jason Powell and Jake Barnett break down WWE Fastlane. Don't want membership? Don't worry about it. Listen to Jason Powell and I take calls on .net Live on Monday afternoon about WWE Fastlane. But if you are a member, you also get ProWrestling.net Weekly today with Jason Powell and Brian Fritz breaking down the latest news, including all of those insane TNA departures. Guys, it's a good time to be a .net member. We always ratchet it up a little bit around the WrestleMania season, and we hope you will sign up and enjoy. To sign up, go to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out for a month. It's WrestleMania month, for goodness sake. And see what we have to offer. Thanks so much, and I hope you enjoy the show. So, Jake, I don't know if you were aware of this, but I still exist. Still a thing. I wasn't around, but I'm here. It's kind of cool, right?
Jobs, man.
Jobs.
They expect you to work when they call.
It's really weird. Like, they expect you to do... Did you know sometimes you have to work during the day? Like, this is completely new to me. I had no idea that sometimes you had to get up in the mornings and actually, like, go somewhere. It's wrong, is what it is.
Yeah, it only gets more odious when you have to get up even earlier than you expect to get a kid to school and then drive directly to work and then fight traffic all the way home. It's a glorious life once you start piling on extra responsibilities for yourself.
Where do you find the time to watch wrestling, Jake?
Typically after everybody goes to bed, so I sacrifice my own sleep for that.
Yeah, I find myself doing a lot of waking up early because I watch it on Hulu. I watch WWE on Hulu, so Tuesday morning, or it's Wednesday morning, I woke up at, I think, 5:30 in the morning, so I could get through SmackDown and write about it prior to going into work. It was somehow very relaxing, to be honest.
Wow, that's like a level of heroism that I, at 5:30, I would not be able to get motivated to watch wrestling in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, let's just say, Jason considers me his own personal hero now. aside from that untruth, let's talk about Fastlane. We're here to preview WWE Fastlane. I did not expect to be excited about this show about a month ago, and right now, I'm excited about almost everything on this show. I think this is going to be a really good show. The Raw brand has been clicking really, really well lately, and going into this show, I'm really excited. I would say my anticipation level is like a 7 or an 8, and my normal Raw brand pay-per-view anticipation level is around 4.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm a lot more lukewarm than that. I'm probably closer to a 5, I think, in terms of just anticipation, because I feel like the main event kind of lacks any suspense about who the winner is going to be. I think the match that really stands out to me that's going to be a lot of fun is Reigns versus Strowman. And the rest of it, you know, I could kind of take or leave. I don't think they've done a great job of building the women's division. I think, you know, between Reigns and Strowman and Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe, if those two matches really deliver, they'll probably save the show for me.
Yeah, I think Reigns versus Strowman is going to be really great. That, to me, is probably the thing I'm most excited about on this show. I'm excited about almost everything, though. So let's start with the pre-show match that I found out was happening when I went to the Wikipedia page for WWE Fastlane. Rich Swann and Akira Tozawa against Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar. I think this could be a really fun opener. These guys, the opener's a good slot for them. They're not super exposed characters, but you can get a loud crowd for an opener. I think these guys could do a lot of great work on that pre-show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have super high expectations for the match, I guess. they haven't done a decent job on television of sort of introducing this Kendrick and Tozawa feud, and it's been, you know, on Raw for several weeks now, and so they, you know, they've given it some attention, and so I feel like in terms of pre-show build, this is probably one of the better stories that we've seen coming into one of these matches, and they've tried to tie it together, you know, with Swan and Noam Dar, but it's just kind of been that they feel kind of tacked on. So I guess I think we'll see an entertaining match, but I think the story focus will probably remain on Kendrick and Tozawa.
I would think so, and I think it'll be good. I'm kind of thinking Swan and Tozawa walk away with this one. It's not time to have Akira Tozawa lose a ton, so. Let's go all the way down. Not that this is a terrible card by any means, but I'm going to go all the way down to number 8 on the Wikipedia for the show as we work our way to the main event. Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe. I think this is going to be Samoa Joe killing Sami Zayn with a few hope spots, but no one does that kind of match better than Sami Zayn. It's one of the reasons Braun Strowman is as over as he is right now. I think Samoa Joe will be really great here. Zayn will be, and this will be a great use of both men.
Yeah, I don't know if you could have picked a better opponent for Joe, you know, having his first match on pay-per-view. The way they've introduced him, in my opinion, is superior to the way that they used him in NXT. I think they've gotten the language of Samoa Joe. They've gotten the intensity. He's actually done a very good job of delivering his lines on the microphone, and he's had, you know, fantastic physical encounters where he's appeared to be every bit the monster that you would hope he would be. It really does feel like like there's been some influence from somebody like Paul Heyman. It really does feel like an angle that he would have helped put together. I mean, the promo delivery has been, you know, very intense and very coached. And so I don't know if it's somebody backstage who just has, you know, has a similar style who's writing this for them, or if Paul's involved, but it's been really fun to watch Joe since he's come back. And I think Zayn is a perfect foil for him. You know, he just has that reputation as a guy who refuses to quit, and that's exactly who you want against Joe at this point in his push.
Yeah, and I think they could even get another match out of Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe on Raw after this, because Zayn does refuse to quit, and you've got some time to kill on Raw, a few weeks. It is really nice having this show in March, by the way. I know Jason's not a huge fan because of the whole long-running champions going into Mania thing, but I really have to praise this show being in March because I'm not bored. A lot of times, even SmackDown right now, it's rounding into its WrestleMania card, and I think SmackDown's not going to be the most exciting show here 2 weeks from now. But Raw will be. Raw has now a month to build to WrestleMania, and I think that is more than enough time. WWE has given it, 7 weeks till WrestleMania in recent years, and it's just too much. You get tired of the programs. Like, you just want it to be done with, and I don't think Raw's going to have that issue, which is why you could get another Zayn versus Joe match before you know what either man is doing at Mania. Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax. Is this when Sasha finally gets that big win over Nia?
I would hope not. I mean, I don't think it's really a time for Nia to lose clean, especially on pay-per-view when it looks like they want her to challenge or at least be a part of a match at WrestleMania where, you know, I'm assuming we're going to get the four women that are on this show in singles matches in a four-way match at WrestleMania somehow, some way. And I'm sure these two matches are going to set that up. And so I'm not going to predict a Sasha Banks win. If anything, if they don't want to have Nia go over here, they could just as easily have some kind of non-finish, and that leads to further interference in the title match or something along those lines. But I'm guessing these four women are going to be involved in a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think we're going to get four ways from both women's divisions, like we talked about a few weeks ago, and that doesn't have me too excited because I wish we had a little bit more from them, a couple more singles matches, but it is what it is. I can move on. And I also kind of think this is probably Nia going over or some sort of disputed finish. I don't know that this is Sasha's big moment, but we'll see. Bayley and Charlotte Flair. I haven't gotten a chance to talk in audio form about the Bayley title win, but I have so many conflicting feelings about it that I was at least thankful for the promo a week later for solidifying that no, Bayley just is a bad person like everyone else here to help me resolve those conflicted feelings. Charlotte wins on pay-per-view, right?
I'm not convinced that we're going to see Charlotte win here. I think we're going to see interference and we're going to get a non-finish so they don't ruin Charlotte's, you know, streak of victories, because it'll be a, you know, it'll be a non-finish or some kind of, you know, no contest or something. And, or maybe she'll just win by disqualification, you know, and get out of here with the, without compromising that streak of hers. But if they went way out of their way to put the title on Bayley and they're going to tell the story of, you know, betrayal, maybe, you know, you have Sasha Banks turn on Bayley and cost her the championship here. I don't know if they want to rush into that though. So I think it's a possibility we may, you know, see that happen, but it'll be, you know, Charlotte winning by disqualification somehow.
Interesting. I really think this is Charlotte winning a competitive match, maybe with some Dana Brooke interference to lead to a little bit of a dispute come 2 weeks from now on Raw when they make this a women's four-way for the title. But I don't know. I like your idea of a kind of run-and-filled thing. I think they could do a little bit of that gimmickry here, especially with how involved Sasha and Nia have been with these two women.
Yeah, I just don't see it coming across just as another women's championship match where Charlotte squeaks out a win with interference. Like, I don't know why you would go out of your way to move the title onto Bayley in a convoluted way and have her compromise, you know, some of the core principles of her character if it wasn't to set up something at this show that gets them where they want to be for WrestleMania. And so I have to believe it's going to be Sasha and Nia getting involved in this match somehow to make that, you know, fatal four-way make some sense.
I like how optimistic you are. It's refreshing.
Well, it could be that they just don't have any ideas, but I like to believe that this close to WrestleMania, they at least have a place they want to end up, even if they don't get there in the way everybody would prefer.
Yeah. Now, something I'm really not optimistic about. I lack optimism about this entirely. Gallows and Anderson defend the Raw Tag Team titles against Enzo Amore and Big Cass. Can I just vote no on this match? Like, is there a way I can stop this match from happening?
You know, I can't imagine them, you know, going more out of their way to define down the tag division than by having the champs losing handicap matches at Roman Reigns on television. I just don't understand why you would have your champs essentially, you know, getting beat up by one guy, even if it's one of your top talents. Like, I think it makes the whole division look kind of silly in some way. Like, it just makes everybody look worse as a result. So I think they've really done some damage to the tag team championships. And I don't think they've done, you know, Gallows and Anderson justice throughout their, you know, their run with the company. So it's kind of disappointing to see their first title run come to this. I don't think we see a title change here, but you never know with WWE. I just don't see Enzo and Cass as being ready for that at this point. I mean, they have the same match every time they go out there, and they got the same promo every time they go out there.
Aren't very, like, not that being good wrestlers is all that matters, because it's not, but both of them aren't good enough wrestlers to carry house show matches and things like that the way that you would think the tag champs need to.
No, they just don't have the variety, in the ring in terms of, you know, they have the same spots pretty much every match. They're cutting the same promos. At least the shtick is the same. They might work in a few lines. I think Enzo is pretty talented in that regard. But, you know, it's tough to cast a vote for him to be champions, because it's like, well, you know, they just don't have the range in the ring to have good matches with multiple teams. And there's really not that much of, outside of the New Day and these two teams, I mean, what is the tag division on Raw? It's pretty slim pickings at this point.
Yeah, that's also a major issue, is that Raw tag team division's depleted and just getting less and less interesting almost by the day. We don't need to talk about what the New Day has been doing lately because they aren't on this show, which is really weird. I mean, you couldn't find a slot for Big E, for you know, Big E, Kofi Kingston, or Xavier Woods anywhere on this show. There weren't singles matches they could, one of them could have been in. It's really, really strange. Neville defending the Cruiserweight title against Jack Gallagher. I think this could be one of the more fun matches of the night, for lack of a better way of saying it. I think these guys could pull out a lot of fun tricks.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give them both credit. You know, both of these guys know exactly who they are as characters. They play those characters extremely well on television, and they've done a decent job of, you know, finding a way to make Jack Gallagher seem like a threat. You know, he doesn't look like a threat, but every time he's out there in the ring, he manages to pull something out of his bag of tricks that makes him look really impressive. And so I'm looking forward to this. I think it could be one of those matches that you look back on this card and go, okay, well, you know, after, you know, your main event matches, this one could be, you know, right next to it on the list of saying, okay, this one surpassed expectations, because I think it's been kind of a low key build, and I think they're both really talented in the ring and they could pull something off.
And Neville's work going into this has been really great. Neville, for all of the criticism I will give WWE's Cruiserweight division, and I have a list, I would say Neville has been awesome. Neville has been a really bright spot in a not-so-bright division thus far, and definitely deserves to have this division built around him as he does right now. So I'd say you keep the title on Neville. I anticipate some sort of, you know, 7-man, get everyone on the card Cruiserweight match come WrestleMania time. And I think Neville will be the anchor of the division going in and coming out of it.
Do you think that becomes the ladder match at WrestleMania?
I'm kind of feeling that way, with Ambrose and Corbin seeming to be like locked into a feud with each other on SmackDown. And you'd have to reach pretty deep to get the guys on that, you know, in that ladder match just from SmackDown. If you were to do like 7 men for the IC title, you're talking like Mojo Rawley deep, and that's just not worth doing on WrestleMania.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like, if you're going to have a, you know, 6 or 8 man ladder match, depending on how crazy they want to get with the spots, you know, they could really, the Cruiserweight division is a good fit, because even the guys who haven't been really exposed that, you know, well on television in terms of character, can still go out there and put on some impressive, you know, stuff in a ladder match. So that it seems like a natural fit for that division, at least.
Do you find a way to put Kane and Mark Henry in that match just because a ladder match needs a base?
Is Tony Nese the de facto base for the Cruiserweight division? I don't know how that works.
Oh, poor Tony Nese. Just yeah. Catching guys all night long. Bunch of people falling on him. I say you put Kane in that match. Just special guest referee Kane, and he gets taken out constantly.
That would be actually just make him like a target, put it on his back. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, like you can't climb the ladder for the title unless you've fallen at least 7 feet into the air onto Kane. Make it like a King of the Mountain match. In fact, perfect. We should just have more King of the Mountain matches. Those were great. Bring back the penalty box.
Oh my God. TNA, man. What are you going to do?
So now we get into the two main events of this show. And I could not think of two more kind of diametrically opposed main events in a way, because in one you have the easiest foregone conclusion that WWE has given us for a main event match in years, and for the other you have one of the hardest matches, I think, to pick a clean finish for, that I just couldn't believe there would be a clean finish in, because it's two guys WWE is obviously building for a month away from now at WrestleMania for something. And I'm, of course, talking about, in the non-picked one, Reigns versus Strowman, and the foregone conclusion is Goldberg versus Kevin Owens. So, Jake, I'll put you on the spot. Reigns versus Strowman, what do you think happens?
Believe it or not, I think we're going to see Roman Reigns just beat him clean.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so, I called you an optimist earlier, and I have to take that back.
My, my gut just tells me that, well, you got Reigns and The Undertaker pretty much set in stone. And so do you send Roman Reigns after The Undertaker, after what happened at the Royal Rumble with him telling Taker it was his yard? Do you send him into, you know, does The Undertaker interfere and cost him the win? Okay, that I could buy. But, you know, is it better to send him in looking strong or looking kind of weak, you know, in an even Steven type affair with Strowman? I think you got to send him in WrestleMania strong. So if it isn't some kind of Undertaker hocus pocus leading to a loss, I see this as a easy Roman Reigns clean victory.
I could see some Undertaker hocus pocus even leading to a schmoz. I haven't written off the possibility that we could see Undertaker and Roman invite Braun Strowman into this match as a, hey, we need a little more movement. And while Braun Strowman isn't normally the guy you call to move in a match, with Undertaker in there, if Undertaker looks as bad as he did in January, I think you want that safety blanket of Strowman and Reigns can have the match built around a few big Undertaker spots to still let Undertaker have his mystique.
On the subject of The Undertaker, and this is sort of a tangent, I guess, unrelated to this match, but we had John Cena play into having a match with The Undertaker in his promo on SmackDown. And he really led the crowd down that path and got a pretty good chant going, to the point where it almost felt like he was trying to sell that match rather than the one that everybody expects him to be in at WrestleMania in that promo. What did you have that same reaction watching that?
I didn't quite think that's what was happening. And part of that was that promo was so obviously building towards, you know, Miz and Maurice against Cena and Nikki. And I thought that promo was so geared towards that, towards building it for Mania. I almost wonder if John Cena is talking about Undertaker next year or if there's something there. But I just tend to think, like you said, Reigns versus Taker is set in stone. I don't think John Cena is making a play to suddenly get his match changed.
I don't think it's actually going to happen, mind you. I just think it, the way that his promo was worded is he immediately sort of defined The Miz as beneath him, and the crowd just sort of bought it. You know, they were like, yeah, I guess he's right. And then he brought up Taker, and then it felt like the crowd was very into the idea of that match. And then, you know, they went on and they finished the promo and they, you know, they did their angle, but it really did feel like Cena was just kind of tossing that out there to remind people backstage that, hey, you know, this is a thing that could be huge. And you're not letting it happen.
Now, that wouldn't surprise me if he ad-libbed that or had it written into that promo just so he could make sure people knew that. But I kind of think Undertaker makes this a non-finish, or Undertaker's interference leads to Braun Strowman winning. I'm fine with either. I mean, there's always the possibility that Roman wins clean. We have learned never to doubt Roman Reigns, but I couldn't imagine that being what they have built Strowman up so cuss wording strong for over all of these months. Strowman is really, to me, the best thing on Raw has been Braun Strowman basically since the brand split. Like, he was the best booked character for so long, and now it's coming to fruition with a lot of other good things on Raw, but I still look at Braun Strowman and go, that's really good. Like, he's really good. He's, something has clicked with him.
I would agree. I think Braun Strowman has improved in leaps and bounds beyond what I would have expected. You know, where he was a year ago is so vastly different than where he is now. It's almost hard to believe. And so I give him all the credit in the world for taking on, you know, this as, you know, as a career and really going after it. And he has improved much faster than I think a lot of the naysayers, including myself, you know, who were really talking about him being green a year ago. I think he's shut us up for the most part. And so, you know, credit to him for that. But I don't really find it that hard to believe that WWE would build up a monster to send after Roman Reigns and have him lose to Roman Reigns, because that's been their MO. Like, that's how Vince likes to build baby faces, is he builds up a monster and he sends him after, you know, a baby face and they slay the dragon. And I just don't see, you know, that being such a hard formula to you know, to see. I think that's something that you could absolutely believe he would do. So I'm not discounting it. I mean, I would much prefer The Undertaker causing a schmoz and you know, this leading to a triple threat at WrestleMania, because I think that's a much more interesting match, given what we saw physically from The Undertaker at WrestleMania, than just having Reigns versus Strowman straight up. So, or Reigns versus Undertaker straight up, excuse me. So I hope that's the case. I don't find Reigns going over clean being outside the realm of possibility.
No, it's definitely not outside the realm of possibility. You use the word schmoz, and every time I hear the word schmoz, I think of the Jesse Ventura biopic that was made at one point. It was really bad.
Yeah, I think it was on NBC at one point.
Yeah,
it was like sped through. He was a WCW commentator, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it like sped through that, and basically it was him. It inserted him into the Montreal Screwjob somehow, and he was backstage telling Vince McMahon, "It's got to be a schmoz, McMahon." And I was like, "This seems terribly inaccurate." So every time I hear the word schmoz, I just think of whatever actor was playing Jesse Ventura saying the word schmoz in reference to Montreal.
Yeah, that was at the height of his political career in Minnesota, and so it was a big deal when I was growing up. So
yeah,
very fun.
Thank you for reminding me of a Jesse Ventura biopic while we were next week. Let's review that. Finally, this is the easiest thing: Kevin Owens and Goldberg. I don't think this match goes more than 4 minutes. I believe this is Goldberg. I wouldn't be shocked if it went 30 seconds. Like, in-ring intros, bell rings, spear, jackhammer, Goldberg's the new champion. I don't think we are going to get a long match out of this. I'd be amazed if we got more than 4 minutes.
I don't know how in the world you book this match for longer than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's given
stupid,
how,
right?
You given how that they set up, you know, Lesnar and Goldberg. So I give Kevin Owens all the credit in the world for trying to cut promos that set him up as a legitimate challenger to Goldberg. And he's tried.
It's a testament to his ability to talk that he went in 1 week from a comedy character, did a convincing beatdown, and now some people actually take him as a serious threat here. Like, I think it is a testament to Kevin Owens's ability.
Yeah, I honestly don't even think the match is the biggest intrigue here, because I don't think there's any chance that Kevin Owens wins, but I think there is a chance that, you know, maybe you see, you know, on Monday following, you know, Chris Jericho return, and they get to starting that feud in earnest. Because honestly, Kevin Owens hasn't been that interesting as a heel champion, because he was defined as a commentary or a comedy character the entire time. And he'll be better away from the championship as a serious heel than he was as a comedy character with it, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine as a serious character. He will do really well. I don't understand why that shift happened before the Goldberg match. I would be slightly more convinced that this match would go longer if Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho were still going strong and doing their thing right now, because at least then you'd have the idea of a 2-on-1 beatdown on Goldberg as he walked down the aisle that would lead to Goldberg selling for a minute for Owens before standing up, ignoring punches, spearing, and jackhammering.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, it was an interesting time to go about doing it. I don't know whether it was, you know, Chris Jericho had other commitments that kept him away. You know, is he doing Fozzy stuff for a few weeks? And I guess I don't pay close enough attention to his schedule to know whether he's just selling the angle or whether he's actually busy doing something. But you know, it was interesting, the timing. Or maybe they just thought, well, we have to have Kevin be serious heading into this match, and we can't have him going out there giving hugs and doing that and heading into, you know, a title match with Goldberg. So maybe they just decided to pull the trigger. But I don't think there's any question that this is short. You know, I think the intrigue will be what happens afterwards, or whether Chris Jericho shows up after the match to get a, you know, to extract some revenge, or how they go about setting up that WrestleMania feud. Because I think it could be one of the more memorable Raw feuds heading into WrestleMania, just given how much character work they've done with those two.
Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of Raw out of them. You are going to get more than enough TV out of Jericho and Owens, as they kind of have all year. And I use the phrase more than enough in every sense, like it has been more than I ever wanted. But they will get a lot out of this feud going into WrestleMania, and hopefully they can point Kevin Owens in a serious direction coming out of Mania after he, I assume, beats Chris Jericho and is U.S. champion. I think there's a fun story to tell as Owens leaves WrestleMania with that title. I think this is going to be a fun show. I get not being super excited about some elements of it, but I think this is the first show to me that has felt really, really WrestleMania-y. Like, I look at this and I go, well, it's a month out from Mania. Man, we're gonna get the big stuff on this show. We're gonna know our Mania card even more coming out of it, which I don't think we'll know anything we didn't know coming out of the Rumble, but we'll know it that much more, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's the time of year. I mean, we're gonna get some WrestleMania setup coming out of this. We're going to see more, you know, WrestleMania-level talent show up on television. You're going to have The Undertaker. You're going to have Brock Lesnar. You're going to be seeing Goldberg on Raw. It is going to feel, you know, like it's WrestleMania season. So I wish some of the full-time talent felt that important, but this is where we are.
Yeah, exactly. I wish most of the guys on this show felt important enough to be on WrestleMania, but, you know, there's a pre-show for a reason. Which is disappointing to say, but also just a fact of life in pro wrestling today. Jake, anything to add before we finish up this show?
No, man. I think we covered everything.
Wonderful. Well, make sure to come to prowrestling.net for coverage of Fastlane, everybody. Become a member and listen to Jake talk about the show on Monday, and listen to me talk about the show with Jason or on Sunday night, and listen to me talk about the show with Jason on Monday on .NET Live. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!